So this will be the fourth of five messages I've been preaching on overcoming. The past few weeks we've talked about overcoming fear and hurt and doubt. Today we're going to talk about overcoming discouragement, and the next week overcoming shame. And I chose these topics because I think they're issues that we all, to some degree, at some time in our lives, that we all struggle with. And each week as I've been preparing the messages, I've thought, you know, this is probably the most common of these struggles. Or this is really the hardest one to deal with. And that was true again this week as I thought about discouragement, which is, I think, so common to many of us. And it plagues us for, in some cases, days, and in other cases, months or years. I think there are people who live with disappointment and discouragement and feeling like life is just weighing them down, sometimes for long, long periods of their lives. It's a road that I've walked down, and I'm guessing, I think I am safe to say that we've all dealt with discouragement at some point in our lives. It weighs you down when things don't go the way you want them to, when opportunities slip through your fingers, or when you get what you don't deserve, or sometimes when you don't get what you think you do deserve. And so you feel discouraged. Life is hard. It's sad that sometimes life just doesn't go the way we want it to. When life isn't fair, and our losses stick with us far longer than our victories do. When one bad word that someone says to you weighs on you far more heavily than any kind thing that someone else may say. So do you ever feel discouraged? Maybe you feel discouraged even this morning. The passage we're going to look at today from the Old Testament reminds us that anyone can feel discouraged. Even people that we might look at from afar and think, oh, there goes a very successful, faithful person. They've got it all together. They're spiritually deep, someone who people look up to and yet may still be struggling with discouragement. We're going to read the story of Elijah. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. A man of God, a man God used to deliver powerful messages. Elijah, his ministry happened to fall during a time of real spiritual darkness in Israel. On the throne was a man named King Ahab, and he married a woman who became his queen, Jezebel. And Ahab and Jezebel are notorious in Scripture, notorious in the history of Israel for the terrible things that they did, leading the nation into idol worship and other horrible sins. And so Elijah was called by God to oppose them, and he did courageously oppose these terrible leaders of Israel. The high point for Elijah, and it's interesting, I tell you this part of the story before I read the passage we're going to get to in 1 Kings 19. The high point of Elijah's ministry took place on the top of Mount Carmel, and you probably remember this story. 450 prophets of the false god Baal came and opposed Elijah, the prophet of the true God. And in this confrontation on the top of Mount Carmel, Elijah called down fire from heaven. Literally, fire from heaven fell from the true God and showed the nation that there is one true God in Israel. And those false prophets were defeated and put to death, and it was this great victory over evil. And it was a stunning rebuke for King Ahab. Elijah proclaimed God's power, stood up for God's righteousness in front of the nation, and he claimed victory on behalf of the true God. It was a turning point for Israel. It was the high point for Elijah's ministry, probably the greatest thing he ever did in his life. But you see, the prophet didn't stay on top of the mountain for very long. And he soon needed God to lift him up from a place of deep discouragement. And this story takes place now in 1 Kings chapter 19, just a few days later. Now Ahab told Jezebel, everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets, that is the prophets of Baal, with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Some modern biblical scholars suggest that Elijah must have suffered from depression or maybe even bipolar disorder, which is a common condition that folks are diagnosed with these days. How could someone like this be suddenly so down after this great triumph on Mount Carmel? How could this happen in someone's life, in someone's heart? Now, I generally don't think it's wise to diagnose someone who lived 2,800 years ago of a serious mental disorder, so I'm not going to go down that road. I also don't think it's helpful. And, you know, modern biblical scholars, they've got to write a book, they've got to get it published, so they say things like that. But I don't think it's helpful for us to look at someone who lived so long ago and say that Elijah must have been suffering from mental illness. How could this be, Elijah? You see, I think what he dealt with was a common emotion that many of us deal with. We have all been where Elijah was. In fact, he explained, as God showed up there, as he was hiding in the cave at Horeb, and he explained why he was so down. He says, "I'm the only one left. They've killed all of your other prophets, God, all of the good, righteous followers of God who were sent out to deliver your message. They've all been killed by Ahab and Jezebel, and I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too." That's why he was discouraged. And put in that context, you say, well, I don't blame you, Elijah. Because he kind of was the only one left. And the king and queen were after him. That's what discouragement feels like, right? I'm alone. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. I'm useless. I'm lost. I don't know which way to turn next. You didn't get the job you interviewed for. You just got dumped by your girlfriend. You thought you did a good job, but then someone came along and criticized you. You worked really hard, but then you failed. You needed help, but nobody showed up when you needed them. You really, really wanted it, but then someone else got it instead. It's discouragement. It's a natural response when things don't go our way. And there are millions of reasons why we could feel discouraged. Even the most positive, happy people that you know, at some point in their lives, things don't work out for them. And that positivity and that happiness fades away. As we look at Elijah's story and as we think about our own struggles with discouragement, I want to share with us two hard realities about discouragement, which is sort of the bad news. And then I want to share three ways that God can help us to overcome discouragement, which I hope will come into your heart this morning as good news. But we start with the hard realities, and that is that discouragement casts a shadow over your heart, following things like a disappointment, a loss, a failure, criticism, whatever it may be. And the point here is that discouragement has a cause. It has a cause. Something causes us to feel this way, whether it's a loss, a failure, an opportunity that you ended up not realizing. Elijah, as we've heard his story here, had just been used by God in this extraordinary way. He called down fire from heaven. He defeated the false prophets. It was this great victory. But then the king and the queen decide, we're going to put Elijah to death. And he hears about this threat from the queen, and suddenly that great victory comes crashing down, and it sent Elijah spiraling into darkness and depression. And so he curls up under a bush and he says to God, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm tired of life not going right for me, God. I'm tired of, despite the victories, that then things just don't turn out the way I wanted them to. I've had enough. Elijah's discouragement was not unfounded. And again, you don't need to call this some sort of mental illness. Ahab and Jezebel did, in fact, want to put him to death. They had already killed nearly all of God's prophets. Israel's leaders were corrupt and idolatrous. The people were oppressed. They were lost in spiritual darkness. Things were, in fact, bad in Elijah's world. And that's why he felt discouraged. And things might, in your life, also seem like they're not going so well. But don't fall for the lie, and it is a lie, that your life is supposed to be perfect. Right? Your life is not supposed to be perfect. No one's life in this world is going to be perfect. You see, we live on earth between the fall and the return of Jesus. It's called human history. And human history is full of broken lives and disappointments and reasons to feel discouraged. And so that is why sometimes we all feel down. Sometimes we feel sad. And it really is no surprise. And so you shouldn't feel like you're alone when things don't go your way and you feel bad as a result. We all feel sad sometimes, but then the question becomes, okay, so what can we do about it? How do we dig ourselves out of that sadness? Well, before I get to the good news again, there's a second hard reality that we need to hear here, and that is that discouragement tempts you, like it did with Elijah, tempts you to give up or to run and hide. And that's just what Elijah did. First, he curled up under a broom bush and he wanted to die. He told God, I've had enough. I want to die. That's how discouraged he was feeling. And then after God fed him and revived him a little bit, Elijah headed off into the wilderness south for 40 days to Horeb. Horeb, by the way, is another name for Mount Sinai, which is where Moses led the Israelites, you know, and received the Ten Commandments and the law. That's why it's called the Mountain of God. It's this great holy place, and Elijah went there thinking, I guess maybe this is where God will finally make everything right in my life. And so he went all the way down to Horeb and he hid himself in a cave. And maybe that's what you feel like doing. Sit down in the dust, shed a few tears, feel sad and alone and broken and lost. And sometimes we all feel that way. And it's okay to feel that way sometimes. But then you might be tempted in those moments to just want to give up. Throw in the towel. Tell God I've had enough. It's too much for me. Of course, that's not what God wants for you. And it is not what God wants from you. God didn't leave Elijah under that bush. He didn't leave him hiding there in the cave. And God is not going to leave you alone in the dark either. See, discouragement casts that shadow over you, and we all know what that feels like. But with God's help, you can, in fact, overcome. And so I want to share some ways that God can shine that light, His light, into your heart and cast out those shadows of darkness and discouragement that we feel. And the first thing is that God offers sources of strength to empower you to overcome discouragement. Sources of strength. You say, well, okay, what did God give Elijah here? Well, what God gave Elijah was the very basic things of life. And it's, I think, fitting that God did. Elijah says to him, I'm ready to die, God. I'm done. I've had enough. And so, in response, God gives Elijah food, water, and rest. Things that we can't live without. And he says, Elijah, I want you to live. And he restores his body and restores his mind and restores his soul. I think sometimes after a good meal, a good night's sleep, the world does look a little brighter, doesn't it? We do start to feel a little bit better. Our mind begins to clear. Our bodies feel a little stronger. But maybe you need more than that. Maybe you need more than just a meal and a good night's sleep. So God can also give you other things. For instance, God can give you family and friends who can pick you up, who can encourage you when you're feeling discouraged. Family and friends who can surround you and remind you that everything's going to be okay. God can also give you, and I talked about this last week, I think, that God can give you memories of past successes. Maybe you've just fallen on your face and failed and you feel down and everything's terrible, but God may come along and remind you, remember when things were going well? Remember when you tried really hard and you succeeded? Remember when things went right for you? Elijah, remember when you were up on Mount Carmel and the fire fell from heaven? Remember how good that felt? And God says, I can get you back there if you walk with me. So those memories of how God has provided in the past can sustain us through difficult moments of today. God can also provide for you new direction or new opportunities. And this might be hard to see in the midst of that discouragement, but very often it's our failures that then allow new doors to open up. Sometimes we get so fixated on one thing that we really want and this is what's going to make my life happy and perfect, and then it falls apart and we don't get it. And it may be that in that moment of things falling apart that God says, now you're ready to go the direction that I really want you to go in. And we find as one door closes, another can open. And so God provides these sources of strength, these sources of encouragement to lift us up when we're feeling down. Another way that God picks us back up is that He speaks words of hope to motivate you to overcome discouragement. God spoke two simple and powerful messages to Elijah in this passage. First, the angel of the Lord, which in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord stands for the manifestation of God, the voice of God speaking to Elijah. And he's there under the bush, and I've had enough, Lord, and I just want to die. And he falls asleep, and the angel of the Lord comes and wakes up Elijah and says to him, get up and eat. Get up and eat. And this is not just a command, but this is a word of hope. It's a message of hope. I'm not done with you yet, Elijah. You need your strength, Elijah. You've got more work to do. So here's a meal, apparently provided miraculously, fresh baked bread and clean, fresh water. Get up and eat, Elijah. We've got more to do. And then God spoke to him a second time down at Horeb. And this time God spoke in a gentle whisper. God didn't speak through the storm or the earthquake or the fire, but instead God spoke to Elijah in a still, small, quiet voice. And he spoke hope into Elijah's heart. The Bible is proof for us that God wants us to hear his voice. And he speaks to us in ways that we can, in fact, hear him if we're willing to listen. If we're willing and ready to open up our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear his voice. God wants to tell us who he is and what he's done and all that he's promised. He wants to tell you that he loves you, that he has a purpose for your life. And so when you're feeling discouraged, you need to learn to listen to God's voice. And I want to share a few words that speak to us through God's voice from Jeremiah chapter 29. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then in the Psalms, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And then from the New Testament, I think this is a verse worth memorizing. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Words of encouragement, words that God speaks into our hearts to say, I'm not done with you yet. I have a message to encourage and motivate you. So as we listen to the word, God will show us the way forward. And so there's another way that God can help us to overcome, and that is that he renews his calling to inspire you to overcome discouragement. He renews his calling. God has called you to serve him. God needs you. He has a purpose for you. The kingdom of God that is at work in this world is incomplete without your contribution, your role, your calling being fulfilled. And so even when you fail, even in those times when you fall short or things don't go your way, even when people let you down or treat you unfairly, God's calling in your life remains. God still needs you in those moments. The end of Elijah's story, if you continue to read through chapter 19, is that God sent him back to Damascus, sent him back to his people, and he called Elijah to anoint a new king, a better king, to take Ahab's place. And also, God called Elijah to appoint a new prophet, a man named Elisha. So Elijah passed on his ministry to Elisha, and Elisha continued to proclaim God's word to the Israelites. You see, God told Elijah, you've got more work to do. You can't just sit here in the cave. You can't hide away. You can't feel discouraged for too long. You've got to go back and continue my work. You've got to continue to share my word with my people. And so Elijah did obey God and finished out his ministry. God said to him, get up and eat. Go back where you came from. Serve my purposes. Fulfill your calling. And the very end of Elijah's life, which this may not be how your life ends, let me just warn you. But Elijah has now appointed his successor, Elisha, and the two of them are walking along, it says in 2 Kings chapter 2, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elijah was taken up into heaven by God's holy presence because his work had been completed. His calling had been fulfilled. And he got up from feeling discouraged. He got up from that broom bush. He got out of that cave and he went back and continued to serve God. You see, discouragement does not disqualify you from serving God. Feeling discouraged when things don't go well in your life doesn't nullify God's love for you. It doesn't remove God's calling and purpose for your life. Instead, God wants to come and lift you up and dust you off and then to show you a new way forward. So with thanksgiving, let's bow our heads. Father, we do give you thanks that you encourage us when we're feeling down. And Lord, I pray for all those who are here today who may feel like life has been unfair to them or things haven't turned out the way they wanted or they worked hard and it just didn't come to pass. And Lord, during those moments, we need you to lift us up again. We thank you that you do have a purpose for us, and I pray that you'd make that purpose and calling clear in each of our lives. Lord, surround us with witnesses, with friends and family who can encourage us and show us the way forward, Lord. We thank you for your love. And I pray that you would walk with us no matter what we face. Help us to overcome discouragement and to find joy and hope and peace in your presence and in the name of Jesus. Amen.